The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
Welcome to the Rack Extra SmackDown Throwdown Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And well, if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for joining us. We're brought to you by our fine folks over at Wrestling for Figure Photography. I can't even speak right now. Instagram.com/MBG1211. This is a first, or a rarity, I should say. We don't normally do a post-show after SmackDown. We save it for Thursdays. But Thursday's super stacked with SummerSlam and TakeOver and news and everything like that. So, well, we're going live tonight because we have got to talk about SmackDown and what happened on the show. Because if they make us go, wait, what? We're talking about it.
And they made us go, wait, what? Okay, set it up for the people.
So, okay, tonight on SmackDown Live, the main event was John Cena versus Jinder Mahal, non-title, right before SummerSlam. So they're revving you up for SummerSlam. It's like, yeah, okay, all right, this is going to be a good go-home. And we all figure that it's like either John Cena's going to win or there's going to be some kind of shenanigans and that'll be your lead into SummerSlam. And they did the match. The match was fine. We're not going to talk about that much because that's not really what happened. So you get to the end of the match. The Bollywood boys have been thrown out at this point. John Cena's going in for the victory. And well, who comes out but his SummerSlam opponent, Baron Corbin. And he immediately costs John the match and beats John up and kicks him out of the ring. And we're sitting here and Jinder's laying in the middle of the ring on his back. Baron could have gotten a 20 count.
50 count, 60 count, 70 count, because he was dead to the world. He took a super AA and he was dead to the world.
Like, he's just laying there. So Baron gets out of the ring and he walks away and we're having the Tyrion Lannister moment where he's watching his brother attack Dany and the dragon. We're like, you idiot. You effing idiot. Cash it in and pin him. Got him. He's right there. And of course, Baron turns around. He looks in the ring. He sees Jinder laying there. He looks at the briefcase and he's like, yeah, okay, all right, let's do this. Let's cash in. So Baron runs back to the ring and he cashes in his briefcase and he's super excited and he's like, come on. Get him up, get him up, get him up. And they're trying to get Jinder up, and Jinder's stumbling around and stalling and everything to go for the match. And, well, Baron, not necessarily having the craftiest experience in the world, or generally experience with money in the bank in general, isn't paying attention to Cena.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. There was no need to pay attention to John Cena. Go.
Well, yeah, because Baron had supposedly taken him out. But anyway, Cena is inching his way back into the ring. And Baron's not paying him any mind. So Baron goes for Jinder. Cena distracts Baron. Jinder small packages Baron and retains the title. Like, you did the legitimate cash-in on the SmackDown before SummerSlam, and Baron didn't win.
Nope, did not win.
Like, we literally sat here afterwards and was like, wait, what?
Did that just happen? Did they just do a thing?
And I had actually looked down for just a second, so I missed it on the first go-round, thank God for replays. But it was like, okay, all right, I see what they're doing, because they were kind of stalling with Jinder, so it's like, so Cena's going to come back in the ring, and the match isn't going to start, and Baron's going to get the briefcase back, and that's going to be how they end SmackDown. Oh no! No, 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 that was not how they ended SmackDown. No, no, Baron's cash-in went through, and he lost.
They rang the bell, he cashed in, and he lost the match. Clean. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so John Cena gets up on the apron. If Baron was smart, and he isn't, he didn't need to look over at John Cena. John Cena could have stood on the apron the entire time. The referee wasn't going to look at John. Jinder wasn't going to look at John because Jinder was out. Corbin shouldn't have been looking. So what happens? He goes after Cena because, you know, Baron's an idiot, and Jinder pins him. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It's like, And not even 10 minutes beforehand, we were talking about WTR Fantasy and the hope I had of probably winning.
There goes that hope.
There went that hope. Because, you know, 20 points for a cash-in, 10 points for 10 points for a title win, 5 points for a network win. It would have been glorious. It would have been fantastic. Nope. Nothing. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Nada. The question that came out my head is, have they lost faith in Baron Corbin?
The matches with Shinsuke, I don't think necessarily helped him at all. And, I mean, as much as I like Baron Corbin, I think he's sassy as hell on Twitter, and if they could find a way to get that sassiness onto TV, that would be amazing. I don't think he's translating well. Baron has never really been able to find a really firm footing since he came up from NXT, because it's like they brought him up, they had him win the Andre the Giant Memorial Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, because it's a mouthful, and then they did nothing with him for like 8 months.
No, that's not true. He feuded with Dolph Ziggler.
He did nothing for 8 months. And then they kind of brought him back in and they started using him more and more and they had him in the Money in the Bank and he won the Money in the Bank. We're like, yeah, okay, this is good. This is great. You know, Baron wins the Money in the Bank. This is a good way to get the title on him for the first time. They're starting to push him. This is good. You know, he can finally find some footing and find his niche. And that's not what happened with this, because we all remember the last person that cashed in and lost that was not John Cena. His name would be Damian Sandow.
And that was the first tweet I got, and it was the first message I got as well, was comparing him to Damian Sandow.
Damian Sandow was on a roll. He was super hot. They put him in a match against John Cena. They had him cash in. He lost. Damian Sandow sunk like a rock after that.
Yeah.
And never recovered.
Nope, never recovered.
Never recovered.
Nope.
I mean, would hate to see that happen to Baron Corbin.
I mean, he did sort of recover with Mizdow stuff, but he never got to another level. But yes, that was the end of Damian Sandow as a credible character. And it just feels like they gave up Baron Corbin, because this was an easy way to make something. What if I told you, as that old saying goes, what if I told you that 1 year ago, WWE would have more faith in Jinder Mahal than Baron Corbin? You would have looked at me and said, what?
You a liar.
Well, here we are a year later. WWE has more faith in Jinder Mahal than they do Baron Corbin.
Like, I hope to God they have a plan, but I don't necessarily believe that.
What happened tonight was clearly showing they don't have a plan.
Because, I mean, you know, of course we're going to be contrary, because we're internet wrestling radio, so of course we're going to be contrary to what happened. But to me, it's like the more interesting story is Baron Corbin cashes in on Jinder Mahal, the SmackDown before SummerSlam, and wins the title.
That would have been interesting. That would have shook SummerSlam up.
Because now John Cena can go to Bryan and be like, so Corbin's got the title. I can have title match, yes?
And here's the whole kicker to the thing. Cena's leaving SmackDown. This with John Cena. Next week is John Cena's probably last SmackDown, because he's working Raw next Monday. This could be the end of John Cena on SmackDown Live. So what good does it do to cost Baron Corbin? Does it elevate Baron Corbin? No.
But it does put heat on the match, which it desperately needs going into SummerSlam.
Okay, heat all you need. Guess what? That's great. Fantastic. Doesn't do anything. The match was going to be what it is. And it's not spoilers, Kinkins, because it's being promoted on the Barclays Twitter. And it's on WWE.com. Just pointing that out. Anyway. But you could have done this a better way. And it just, you look at the whole situation going, well, Baron Corbin, now what? Baron Corbin on Sunday beats John Cena. Now what? You could have made, okay, he still had a briefcase and he just beat John Cena. Now he's a credible threat. But he just lost to Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for making Jinder more credible as a champion, like 100% behind that, but I'm not sure sacrificing Baron Corbin to it was the best plan, because Corbin was technically, what, the number two, number three heel behind Owens on SmackDown?
But did this win for Jinder do anything?
It gives him a win going into SummerSlam, which is good for him. It, you know, keeps his momentum going.
But now let's think about it. Technically, he just lost to John Cena. Technically, last week he lost to Randy Orton clean in the middle of the ring. What momentum does Jinder have? A sneak win over Baron Corbin, who they don't seem to be pushing?
Hey, you're only as good as your last match.
So his best performance is a schoolboy.
We'll go with that.
That's where we are in this situation, you know? This is where we are. This is the credibility of our WWE champion. I don't see it, but that's just me.
I know you don't see it, but it's like, you gotta do something, because here's the thing. The match with Shinsuke and Jinder is really, really hard to call right now. And we're just gonna talk about it a little bit. We're gonna talk about it on Thursday too, but you have a problem with Shinsuke and Corbin. Or not Corbin, Shinsuke and Jinder. Where it's like, either way, you're kind of damned, because it's like, if you don't put the title on Shinsuke, it's going to be really, really awkward. But if you keep the title on Jinder, it's going to be really, really awkward, because you're going to sacrifice one for the other. Unless you have massive levels of shenanigans and Jinder wins or retains the title on some kind of technicality.
Which is more likely to happen now that there's no briefcase to screw around with. Jinder is probably going to keep this belt. He's going to probably win or lose by disqualification. Shinsuke will win. Shinsuke will, you know, not be champion, and the crowd will be mild. And you've done nothing. You've done nothing. All you've done now is extend the Jinder Mahal Shinsuke Nakamura program, but this is SummerSlam coming up. This is the one of the big four pay-per-views where things are supposed to conclude to start the next 6 months chapter. But if you're going to, we're going to cause a DQ, but 6 weeks later we'll have the finish. No, that does nothing for anyone, especially the WWE champion who brought out his fancy dancers tonight.
It was Indian Independence Day, y'all.
Apparently that's a thing.
They're allowed to have their Independence Day.
They're allowed to have their Independence Day. That's fine. I didn't need a 20-minute celebration, though. That's me. You can celebrate for 10 minutes.
I'd like to point out, they do every bit of that and more on July 4th. They literally dedicate an entire show to July 4th.
Good. It deserves it. Okay, I'm all not being serious.
But yeah, I like the opening of SmackDown, though.
Oh, it was fine. There was nothing wrong with it until Jinder opened his mouth.
I still...
Because he didn't say anything new.
No, he didn't. I still feel like Jinder should be a face. I don't know why. But it's just like, him being a heel just doesn't do it for me. I feel like he needs to be a face.
And here's the thing. He's being booked as a babyface in India.
I know!
That's what this whole segment was for the people of India to cheer and everyone else to boo. But it doesn't help when your crowd is American. That's all.
So, other things that happened on SmackDown, because we're here talking about it.
Fashion Police, explain it.
I have no explanation for the Fashion Police, other than the Ascension brought the pie back a week later, because, okay, it was full of hair and band-aids and was not gluten-free.
They were screaming about gluten.
Which I laughed at, honestly. And there was a note that said, to be, which I'm assuming is to be continued, which... We don't get anything Sunday. We're not going to get anything next week. It's 2 weeks till we see Breezango again. So I'm guessing I'm not getting Luke and Eric at SummerSlam, which upsets me greatly.
Or in 2 weeks we see Breezango. Doesn't mean anything about Fashion Police.
True.
What else?
But I like the Fashion Police better, so...
Oh yeah, Fashion Police is fine. And maybe that's just them 2 weeks they're back to wrestling. And that they were talking about how something's coming to the tag team division. And that's Breezango probably in 2 weeks. That's fine. I don't know. Thankfully that was the final Fashion Peaks. I don't know Fashion 5. We've explained this. We don't understand Twin Peaks. I don't think this had anything to do with Twin Peaks unless they like sweets and pies and syrup. I don't know. By the way, the Ascension have been great on characters in these skits.
There's something really weird about the Ascension, like, in full makeup, right? They're in their full Ascension makeup and gear doing comedy. It's kind of weird, but kind of creepy.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I would agree. Let's see. What else happened on SmackDown? Natalya made Becky tap out. Carmella warned of a cash-in.
Oh. Tamina Crush.
All right, talk about Tamina Crush.
Okay, so Lana and Tamina are backstage. I forget the entirety of the conversation because, honestly, I wasn't paying attention that closely. And essentially what it boils down to is Lana and Tamina are going to work together and Lana is going to turn Tamina into a female Rusev, because nobody fears Tamina right now. Nobody's afraid of her, which is a valid point.
No, we've had no reason why we should fear Tamina. None whatsoever.
We actually had this conversation over the weekend, didn't we?
Yes.
Goddamn side conversation. It's tapped.
It really is.
I swear to God.
Okay, so the other night we were talking about the Brooklyn thing. About Brooklyn and SummerSlam, right? A couple hours later, I was on Twitter. It's returning to Brooklyn.
It's like, God damn, y'all. God damn. But anyway.
Someone's wiretapping our phone calls.
And I'm not okay with it.
If they were listening, you would see more Luke and Eric, but they only pick and choose the conversation they have.
If they were listening, Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, and Pete Dunne would be on my TV right now.
True story.
Legit. And Bray Wyatt would be champion.
Well, he was.
For a month. It was BS.
6 weeks.
Really?
If you want to get technical, it was like 6 weeks.
Fine. He was champion for 6 weeks. He did nothing. They made him champion to blow up his house and lose to Randy Orton. I do not accept that.
Who lost to Jinder, who's given us 3-something months of Jinder Mahal's WWE champion and no months of Baron Corbin as champion because apparently they've given up on him after tonight.
Anyway, Tamina crush. So, nobody fears Tamina. Well, Lana's going to use her craftiness, her sly, her cunning to make people afraid of Tamina. She's going to make Tamina into this badass and get Tamina ready to win the title because that's what this all started on, is Tamina wants a shot at the title. Lana's like, you're not ready. And Tamina's like, what do you mean I'm not ready? You know, were you so ready when you had your multiple title shots? And Lana's like, nobody fears you. And she's right. Nobody fears Tamina because Tamina really, while Tamina is good at what she does, she's never gotten that character push to make us afraid of her because I still don't know who Tamina is. She's been in the company for like 10 years, and I have no idea who she is beyond being Jimmy Snuka's daughter. Because that's literally all they made her when she came in. She was Tamina Snuka, Jimmy Snuka's daughter. Like, they never gave her the legit shot when she came in, and by the time the Divas Revolution happened, she was kind of on the back burner permanently at that point because she kept getting injured. So now it's Tamina's back, Tamina's healthy, she's gotten everything straightened out, so we're going to push her. And I'm kind of hoping they turn her into a badass. I really am. And I'm fine if it's Lana doing it because you're putting Lana back in that manager role, which she's good at.
Yeah, she has a way to be a good manager. She's not that great in the ring. But again, you can use both characteristics to bring the best out of each other, just like she did for Russo. And
Lana's great as that occasional, hey, we're going to throw you in the ring and have you work wrestler. As a full-time, I don't think she does as much for the division, but it's like, as a manager, I think she contributes more, especially if she's managing another woman.
I can see that, yeah.
It's like, I think that's a better contribution of her time than the wrestling. Like, you know, seeing her wrestle, it's fine. And as she works more, she will improve more. And you can have her work on house shows, and you can have her work down in NXT, and you can do all that. Like, she can wrestle. There's nothing wrong with that. And as she improves, you can bring it back to TV. But it's like, right now, she still needs work.
She needs a lot of work. She needs to, gain confidence being in the ring. Two, you need to get the aura back. And the way to get the aura back about Lana is putting her back in a role where she's most comfortable. And letting her be the one to help get Tamina over maybe might work. I'm skeptical about it, but we'll see.
Well, it's like in getting Tamina over, that will help to get Lana over again.
You would hope.
We don't know, but you would hope.
Okay, switching gears. What's up with Shane McMahon?
Dude, I don't know, but he was as red as a cherry tonight.
And he was just standing there, too.
Child needs to lay off the spray tan, number one, or at least the blood orange spray tan, because dude. So anyway, AJ comes out, he wants the apology, or he wants to issue an apology to Shane. Shane comes out, they're talking, Kevin Owens interrupts, of course, things break down, and Kevin Owens ends up punching Shane in the face.
Super kicking.
The white, what?
Super kicking.
Super kicking, I'm sorry. Super kicking, let's get technical. The White Henley made its appearance again, somebody got that out of the wash.
Yeah, so what sort of...
But it looked very smart, partnered with the Blazer.
So what sort of happened was Shane and AJ were going back and forth talking. Shane didn't want... said there was no apology needed. And they were talking about Shane's role as a referee. And if, you know, unlike other referees, Shane will push back. And, well, AJ was questioning whether it was a threat. Shane said, no, it's not a threat. And what it means for Sunday, we sort of wait for Kevin Owens' music to hit because Shane looks back and going, I finished my script. Can someone hit his music, please? So there's an uncomfortable 10 seconds where Shane's just standing there trying to think of words to say, and then he figures out he can say a word, and then, oh yeah, they finally hit the Kevin Owens theme, who has his Ultron back.
He doesn't walk out over his face anymore. I'm very disappointed by that.
But it was a really awkward 10 seconds there.
Yeah, I'm not sure who was late on that. If that was the sound people, if that was Kevin, or if Shane just, like, went early. Like, I'm not sure. But yeah, you saw Shane standing there. And the poor man, bless his heart, is standing there in sneakers, jeans, a longer sleeve shirt, and a blazer. He looks like he's about to keel over because he's dying of heat in the middle of the ring. He's sweating profusely, and he's not doing anything. But it's so hot, and his outfit is so hot, that he's just, like, literally about to fall over. Like, I told Rock, it's like, he's getting redder by the second.
He was legitimately getting redder by the second.
And he was just standing there. It's like, oh my god, somebody get him a glass of water or something, because he's not looking good.
Yeah, he wasn't looking good. Alright, I'm going to interrupt, though, because I'm reading Twitter as we're doing this. Someone put out a statement. Corbin buried so deep that he has been granted an entry into the hollow earth. We're going that far with this.
I wouldn't say he's been buried yet. Keyword
is yet.
Obviously, they wanted the Money in the Bank out of the way. That's clear.
Then why'd you put it on Baron?
Well, Baron holding it's not a problem, but it's like Baron... The Money in the Bank being in play creates a really awkward issue anytime they do a title match, especially on the level of, like, Jinder and Shinsuke. Because now it's the theory that you were saying, oh, well, you know, you could put the title on Shinsuke. Shinsuke could hold it for a total of 5 seconds, and then Baron Corbin can come out, kick him in the face, end of days, 1, 2, 3. He's the new champion.
Which is what the internet was hoping for. They were just hoping they would get the belt. Off of Jinder, and this was the easiest way possible.
Oh, I know, but now that takes that out of play. So when it comes to Sunday, it makes Sunday that much harder because it's like, okay, well, Shinsuke could win or Jinder could win, and it doesn't matter about Baron Corbin because the suitcase is no longer an option. They have to pick one or the other. So I think it's they more burn the Money in the Bank just to get rid of the Money in the Bank, which always bites them in the ass when they do it this early.
It was a waste. I feel like they wasted the Money in the Bank.
They did. They completely did. They burned it. They got it out of the way, which, like I said, come Rumble time, or come the end of the year, that thing's usually really, really useful in an awkward moment, especially if somebody gets hurt. Now it's the Money in the Bank isn't there anymore, so they're reliant on whatever they got. But yeah, anyway, back to Shane McMahon. Somebody needed to get him water.
He needed some water, yes. He needed some water.
But yeah, after Kevin Owens super kicked him in the face, Kevin kind of ran off. AJ tried to help Shane up.
I wanted Kevin Owens to carry Shane McMahon to the back because he was showing, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to kick you. Even though we all know he meant to kick him.
He totally meant to kick him.
But it would have been a cool moment of Kevin Owens trying to pick up Shane McMahon.
Kevin Owens picks him up, carries him back, bodyguard style. And he's screaming, yeah. I'm sorry, as he runs to the back with Shane McMahon.
That would have been awesome. That would have been awesome.
That never would have happened.
Anyway.
Yeah. No. Don't. I was going to say, if you queue up, I will always love you. You. Really? My darling, you.
Oh, imagine them walking out to that. That would have been fantastic. That would have been fantastic.
How did you even have that ready?
Hit the buttons.
Oh my god, you're a freak. Like, how do you even have that ready? God.
This is why I'm good at what I do.
Oh god, Sam Roberts.
What did he say?
I miss when Baron Corbin had the briefcase. And WWE retweeted it.
Well played. Well played.
I just... Yeah, okay. So what else happened on SmackDown? Because we're trying to get away from Baron Corbin. So you talked about the Fashion Files. I'm scrolling through their Twitter.
We talked about we had the New Day stuff.
We had New Day versus Usos.
Mm-hmm.
New Day loses, which means they're winning on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But the bigger moment from this... Daniel Bryan and the Usos backstage.
This was the closest segment to Talking Smack than we'll ever see on WWE TV. Because if you followed Talking Smack, anytime the Usos and Daniel Bryan were on, they would sort of, you know, when the rap battle started kicking around, Daniel wanted to be a part of it. He would be, you know, what was he? What? Sweet Beats? B-E-E-T-S? Beats? For his beats. He would try to rap. So this was as close as we would get to that, and you can see WWE tried to write it for them, and it was okay, but Daniel Bryan is Daniel Bryan, and he flew in to do that.
Which he's not going to complain about because he got paid to do it.
He got paid to do that, yes.
But yeah, that was funny. Also, we mentioned Rusev. We should talk about Rusev because Rusev was on this show.
Rusev was on this show. He took on Chad Gable. This was not as good as the matchup they had before because this was just Rusev crushing Chad Gable. So, like in any form of wrestling fight, when you throw someone to the outside and you get counted out, what is the thing you do? You go onto an announce table and put on a submission hold because you know when you're on top of a table, it is the toughest place to be in a submission. You can't go anywhere. It's a struggle. Submissions hurt so much more when you're on a table. It's just like the hardest part of the ring. The worst spot to be in a submission is on the top of a table because it's so dangerous. It hurts so much on a table.
Ditto. I got nothing to add for that, but yeah. And then, well, after the match, Randy Orton RKO'd Rusev out of nowhere.
They timed that correctly.
Yes, they did.
King Kids shows the Scott Fishman tweet. Dear Carmella, what Baron Corbin did, don't do that.
Yeah, agreed. If the champion's down, just pin him. And last but not least, did we talk about the opening segment?
We kind of did. We talked about the dancing boys and stuff like that and Jinder's speech to his country. We talked about
it. We didn't talk about Shinsuke.
Shinsuke cut his best promo of his WWE career.
I like how you can, like, offend an entire country just by walking out. Like, Shinsuke's got mad skills.
So, Mahal came out, accused Nakamura of disparaging his people on their day. Nakamura said, today in India, it's Independence Day. Today in Japan, it's Deya. They commemorate something about peace.
They commemorate, because I can speak, all the soldiers that have died in war, and they pray for peace.
Because the reporter couldn't understand what he said. So he said on Sunday, in America, it's SummerSlam, the day he loses the WWE title to me. And he sang it like, happy birthday to me. I thought it was fantastic. Best promo he's done in his WWE career.
I would agree with that. I mean, I really liked it. There was an awkward moment at the end of it because they just, like, he said to me, and then they just start playing his music. And it's like, oh, he's done. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
But that's SmackDown in a nutshell.
That was SmackDown in a nutshell. We did have to talk about it because, well, stuff happened. And this show was considerably less kinky than Raw was. I will say that. Because, oh my god, Raw. Oh my god.
Yeah, if you haven't heard the Raw Post Show, go check it out. We talk all about the kinks. Raw Post Show.
But yeah, so that does it for the SmackDown Throwdown here on WildTalkRadio.com. And, well, we will be back Thursday night with the regular show, The Rack, where we're talking SummerSlam, TakeOver, news, and, well, more, because it's The Rack Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes, and coming up in 20 minutes, if you're listening live, if you're not listening live, you can check out the archive at youtube.com/RackRadioShow. But in 20 minutes live at twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, it's WTR Sims Presents SummerFest. Live, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Check out all the fine programming along the airways of Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. Yeah. Not doing usual plugs.
Not doing usual plugs? All right, well, you can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LANSWRD, and my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing, awesome, fine sponsors, Gerwick.net, Wrestling Figure Photography, Instagram.com/MBG1211, and FightBooth.com. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to the Rack Extra SmackDown Throwdown Edition right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you Thursday night for The Rack. Till then, bye! So keep on